Okay, we're starting a little late today. Hello, everybody. It is Wednesday, March the 13th, 2024, and it's a beautiful world. And today is Wednesday, which means returning guest Fake Nukes Phil. Always interesting, always controversial. He's everywhere. He's making waves. He's people are starting to pick away at all my guests, looking for faults, finding fault. And I don't mind constructive criticism, but on the other hand, you have to ask yourself if you're picking apart the guests and all their little views on different topics, you have to ask yourself, what are you doing? What are you doing out there to further what we call truth? Are you really helping, or are you just criticizing? Again, I don't mind criticism, and Phil can take criticism, but, you know, we're just trying our best. And Phil's already said that he just uses a laptop. He sits in his basement after work and pumps out videos. He's not exactly spending his whole life doing this, but he is doing something, and it's interesting. And if you do what I do, feed Phil a topic, he'll go after it. And usually it only takes 5 minutes to find a problem. So anyway, Phil, you're back. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, well, it's always fun. And you get lots of traction. You get lots of hits, lots of listeners. And this is my topic, fake nukes or fake news, fake nukes.
Yeah, you know, same thing.
I think our governor/premier, you call governor, we call premier. I think he just announced that he's pouring billions into our oldest nuclear plant and keeping those six-figure jobs going, keeping the grift going. And it's on valuable lakefront real estate. And they said even if they did close, it would take 20 years to clean it up because of all the radiation. So you wouldn't get your beach back anyway in your lifetime. But there are so many people making so much money there doing I don't know what. It's just they can't stop the grift. So I think he said today he's going to keep it going for another whatever, you know, the remodeling of the nuke plant, whatever they do.
Mm-hmm. It's another
step. I think they just knock down walls and build them back up again, you know, that kind of thing. Kind of like the war. Kind of like in Gaza, where they just knock buildings down, clear people out.
Yeah. Yeah, knock old buildings down and then have children walk in the rubble and then do a fake cry and pour some fake blood. Gray dust is very popular in Gaza. Every single kid has gray. I think Israel is using gray dust bombs. Right. Because whenever...
Where do they get the gray dust? Is that a military expenditure?
Yeah, they probably get it from, it's probably Portland cement left over from the moon landing.
Right.
And I bet you it is.
Somebody's supplying it for millions of dollars. You know that much.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Someone's making money on that.
Portland cement ain't cheap. Yeah. I forgot to mention Portland. I forgot to mention the gray dust in the list of things that old Max Egan forgot to mention.
Yeah, you put a clip on your... on your channel, on your BitChute channel. Fake Nukes Phil is only available on BitChute. So you have to go to his BitChute channel. And if you can't watch it in one of those censor countries, as in most of Europe, just go get a browser that can handle it, a VPN that originates from North America. And while we can still watch stuff here in North America, you can too. It's not that hard. So don't complain that you can't watch his videos, because you can. You just have to figure it out. It's not get Opera, get Epic,
Opera get a, browser,
get
Epic,
a VPN if you want to pay. Whatever, it's not that hard. So get with the program. But I guess you get about an email or a comment a day saying, "Oh, I can't watch your channel."
Yeah, I know. Well, and most people say, "Well, that means you must be on the right track, because if you're censored in the UK." Or in Europe, that means you must be over the target. And I take that as a compliment, and I think it is, because they can't give me a reason why I'm banned in those countries.
He doesn't respond to you, the guy that runs
Ray doesn't respond, Ray. And he doesn't and have
does Ray really look does Ray really look like he runs the place? he really I'm nothing against Ray. I watched his video because he's announcing new features and all that on BitChute. He doesn't really look like the guy that runs it. So he looks like a janitor.
He could be a Janny. Yeah, you know, but the Jannies,
nothing against janitors, but still, he just, I don't know. It's a very shady operation.
Yeah.
And I can say that because I don't care about BitChute. I have my own video platform, but there's something funny about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had a good show on Sunday. It was out of the blue. John LeBon organized a roundtable. I thought it was pretty good. And he wanted you there as well. He thought you were a new, good new addition to the scene. So he specifically said, get Fake Nukes Phil. So I said, all right. So
yeah, Fake Nukes,
it was a good time. It went very quickly. And yeah. I think Tim Osmond got more feedback or more negativity from some of my people than you did, but that's fine.
Tim's a good sport.
Yeah. I like him. He's a good researcher. Let me feed you one thing that's controversial about Tim, and I'm not trying to stir up crap. But this is the one thing that I don't understand, and you're going to love it. He paired up with a guy named Mad Mike something. Mm-hmm. And Mad Mike was some flat earth thing. And I know you don't talk about the flat earth, but this isn't really about the flat earth. It's just that Mad Mike was going to launch himself from some kind of cannon high into the atmosphere and if he was videoed up, he was going to show the earth from however far up.
Okay.
And when I saw the video, it looked like Super Dave from the show Bizarre back in the old days. You remember Super Dave? We used to do jump, fall out of buildings and stuff.
No, I missed Super Dave.
Okay. Well, look that up. Look up Super Dave. Super Dave is supposed to be a retarded Evel Knievel. So that was the whole part of the comedy act on Bizarre Canadian Show, and he would do stupid things. And whenever they found Super Dave, they would just have a doll on the ground, and it was obviously a dummy, but they were just showing Super Dave splat on the ground or whatever. But anyway, why am I bringing this up? Because I thought Mad Mike, the so-called daredevil for going up into space, looked like Super Dave's doll. So if you get a chance, check that footage out. I don't have the video handy, but you'll find it. So
wasn't Mad Mike the one who crashed in his rocket, and then then the news made fun of flat earthers? Oh, this guy
tried, and then he died. But Tim Osmond said he really died because he was there.
Oh, Tim Osmond was there.
He was somehow linked to it. Some promoting it. I don't know. But he said,
I thought the whole thing was fake. I thought Mad Mike was a controlled opposition pretending to be a flat earther just to make him look silly.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought. Yeah.
But Tim Osmond keeps saying it's real. So
yeah.
Mad Mike Hughes Jacquois says. So I don't know if you want to take a look at that footage. He landed back on the ground like Super Dave Osborne, because I think they showed his quote unquote body. So I think that would fall in the rubber babies category or the rubber space rubber evil or daredevil category.
Yeah.
I don't know why he hangs his hat on that, but as I said, we all have our differences, but that one is a little too bizarre for me.
Well, I think the flat earthers make a lot of good points, and their criticism of NASA is what sets them apart. Is I've never heard NASA be criticized before. Then until I got in watching flat earth stuff, I said, oh my God, NASA's doing a whole bunch of crooked stuff. And so, you know, just for that alone, I respect the flat earthers. It's like, yeah, you know, because they're absolutely right. We got to look at NASA with a very critical eye. And they're up to some real whoppers over there. And
well, the only thing that you know, Simon Shack now, and I think you respect his work. Simon is convinced that NASA started the flat earth revival in 2015 because too many people were making too many videos exposing NASA. Mm-hmm. So they figure if they could attach flat Earth, which most of the population considers nuts, mm-hmm. they equate that. They've been programmed to think that's BS. If you think of that, you're a moron. You're yes. anti-science. So Simon says yes. that Simon they link the two together to discredit anyone who criticizes the BS NASA footage.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls it discredit by association.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, he told me that too, and yeah. I bought his book, the Tycos, the or geoaxial binary system.
Yeah,
and I haven't got a chance to get into it yet. I've been so busy actually with work and messing with my broken laptop, and you know, every day gets me busy, and so you know, but I've got it here. And
well, you got to have a head for it. Now, Simon is always after me saying, why don't you figure it out? It's not that hard. Read my book. I said, okay, but I'm not a big astronomy guy. That's not my big interest. It could be my interest, but
mm-hmm.
it's just not my thing. I agree. You're probably right, because I think you're right about all your 9/11 stuff. So by mm-hmm. association, you're probably right about your book. I'm not going to argue mm-hmm. with you.
No, yeah. So once we know that NASA is a fraudulent organization, I mean, all options are on the table. We can consider Simon's binary system. We can also consider flat Earth. We can also yeah. consider toroidal Earth.
Yeah.
All things get considered because we know that NASA, one thing we can throw out is the spinny water ball Earth. We can, because that's what NASA promotes. And so it's like,
yeah.
And the spinny water ball Earth, just thinking back on it, has always been just crazy anyway. It's like, what the heck? It's like water can't stick to a spinning ball. It's just crazy that
it's supposed to be going 1100 miles an hour at the equator.
Yeah, exactly. And
on the North Pole, it's not going anywhere because that's the axis, so it wouldn't be spinning at all in the North Pole, would it?
No
RPMs. But if you're on that equator, man, you're flying.
And all the different movements, we're also spinning around the sun. We're also
yeah.
we're also flying through the solar system. It's just so crazy.
And why are all the numbers occult numbers? How yeah. is it possible? We're like, who could measure the 66,000 miles an hour around the sun? I think we're going, or whatever it is. So it's just kooky nuts. You know, they're lying. That's all you need to know. They're lying. Okay. We can't really know the truth, but we know they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah. And so I always talk about Saturn, which is the sixth planet from the sun, mm-hmm. named after Saturday, right. the sixth day of the week, is the only planet to have a six-sided hexagon on the North Pole. That's a lot of sixes.
Yeah.
The people who, because, you know, Saturn is not the sixth planet. It's just another pulsating light in the sky. It's a wandering star is what it is. But right. the people who put the planets in order, they had to make sure that Saturn was number six. Right. And because of all this obsession with the number six.
Yeah.
And we know who that is. That's the same people who are obsessed with the 6 million who died at Auschwitz. You know, these people are obsessed with the numbers. And so it's a Jewish solar system they have us living in. If you believe in this solar system, then you have taken the 666 mark of the beast, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it really is. The planet Saturn just shows that it's a satanic system if you believe in it. And it's obviously they wanted to associate Saturn. Saturn looks like an eyeball if you look at it through a telescope, because the ring makes it look like the oval of the eye, and then the pupil is the planet itself.
Yeah.
If you look at it yourself, you're going to see. So Saturn is unique in that
it's a bright light. It's one of the brightest lights yeah. in the sky, is it not?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's Venus is the first and Jupiter is the second. And I think Saturn is the third. Yeah.
Yeah. And in terms of brightness, you can see them with the naked eye.
Yeah.
If you know what you're looking for. But anyway. The reason why
planet is in the sky right now making that with the crescent moon? I saw it last night in the evening. There's a planet that's falling into the crescent of the moon.
Somebody in the
comments might know.
Yeah, well, if you get an app for your phone, you can point it at the sky and it'll
that's put right.
Uh-huh. I don't know if you've done that. My daughter has that on her phone, and when we go for a walk, when it's not overcast, then we can. She holds the camera up to tell me what the hell I'm looking at, because I can't even see. I think I have pretty good eyes, but I find it hard to see some of the constellations. Maybe it's just not clear enough. But with the phone, you can. It'll draw them all out. So, yeah. If anyone knows Venus,
it's Venus. Yeah. I suspect as such, because Venus is so bright, and when it's still daylight out, you can still see Venus. Yeah. Well, when it's dusk, when it's twilight, you can.
Well, for all our Muslim friends, I think it's the start of Ramadan. I think.
Yeah. So yeah.
Have something to do with it.
Yeah. So
crescent moon, Venus.
Yeah.
I know they pay a lot of attention to the moon and the sun, so.
Yeah, well.
Which probably makes more sense. I'm an advocate for the 13-month year. I think it makes way more sense. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it kind of, I don't know. It's supposed to round out evenly, but it doesn't. Yeah. We have to have a
leap one day year off
every 4 years.
And no, so, I know. And Simon explains that, too, in his book, I think. Mm-hmm. Every year is 365.25 days. So that's why after 4 years, you have an extra day.
Yeah. Yeah. So we haven't reconciled the year yet. And that's one of the big mysteries. And maybe that's a big mystery of this flat earth thing. I mean, you know, maybe a lot of people aren't interested in the subject. They say it doesn't solve any problems. Well, maybe it does. Maybe if we can reconcile the year, maybe.
If we can get our women on a 28-day cycle, we'll all be better off.
Yeah, that could be it too. You know, but certainly at this point, I'm looking at the supernatural, because I'm not looking to form a militia. We can't fight this evil empire with weapons or with a frontal assault. It's got to be something occultic. It's got to be something supernatural. And but so
I think it's based on the stars. I mean, what else has been here all this time that doesn't change? The sun, the moon, and the stars. Everything else is just a new year.
And they spend a lot of time lying to us about the universe. I mean, this NASA thing, I mean, they really pump it at us, you know, especially in schools, with the globe in every classroom, and they really pump it at us really hard. So they spend a lot of energy on it. So it must mean something. It must mean something important to them, and that they're So,
well, it's important that they throw you off track when you're young, so you're not even curious when you're old. And I think that's one of the reasons why Simon doesn't get much blowback against his, because almost nobody lays on their back as a kid and looks at the sky. Mm-hmm. They don't know the sky because they're busy looking on their iPhones. So he doesn't get much criticism, because nobody has anything to say about the stars, because they don't know them.
Yeah, especially nowadays. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we live in big cities. We can't even see most of the night sky. And I live out in the desert, and I can see a lot of the night sky, and because we don't get clouds, and we don't have much light pollution either. So it's pretty fantastic. You know, when I first saw Venus, I remember I thought, what the heck is that? I mean, when I first recognized that it wasn't an airplane, because most people see Venus and they think it's an airplane, and they just look away and keep walking. Yeah. It's like, no, that's not an airplane. Because if you look at it, it doesn't move. You know, it's an airplane. You will eventually move across the sky. And so I was like 20 years old, and I first realized that airplane isn't moving. and it dawned on me that, what the hell is that? And I went into a Circle K and I said, what's that damn thing in the sky? And the guy looked at me like I was crazy. But finally I had to, it took me a couple days. And learned that it was Venus. Venus is the brightest, light, or the third brightest light in the sky behind the sun and the moon.
And now I'm going to play this video. I'm having issues with audio, so I know you can hear it. But if the audience needs to let me know if they're hearing this once or echoed, because I don't know. There's something about Yandex I haven't quite figured out yet. And anyway, this is your video with about Max Egan. Because he basically called you out on his last video, I think.
Well, he didn't name me by name. He just said those people who say this Gaza war is fake are either working for Israel or unknowingly, or yeah. unknowingly working for Israel. It's like, well, you know, if, okay.
Well, you're not working for Israel, but you, so you, you're not in that category, but you
so
might.
So here's a, here's a thing I would say, Max, why do you think you're even seeing these videos? I mean, Israel could have cut off all internet service the very first day of this conflict. Israel wants you to see these videos. They are, it's a production.
Okay, let's watch this fancy there, whatever.
People are claiming Gaza's fake. I mean, I tell you, folks, anybody who's claiming Gaza is fake, what's going on in Gaza is a sideshow with actors and rubber babies. These people work for Israel, or they work for Israel and they don't know it. Because nothing that's going on in Gaza is fake, folks. These people are being genocided live on TV, and people are calling it fake and making up conspiracy theories about it and all sorts of crap. It's unbelievable, folks, that they're doing it. The alternate media has been infiltrated by...
So that's all he has to say. Now, I left a message. You didn't put a link to his channel here, I don't think.
No, but... I figured it. He gets so many views on BitChute. I mean, everybody knows where to find him. Come on, I'm in the basement of the internet. I mean, they can find Max Egan.
Now it's called the Crow House. I just want to go look at it because I left a comment there. The Crow, and he answered. Actually,
oh, okay.
I don't know if you're on there, or he knocked you off, or if he blocked you rather. But he gets about 15,000 views.
Shrink XXL to M true.
Oh, they got commercials
these are
here.
These jeans I wore half a year.
How do I turn this off?
And this is how.
And just let me know, by the way, if the audio is going well, if it's coming through. Rather,
I don't hear an echo myself.
Yeah,
it sounds better.
No, I don't think you hear it, but I think the audience hears it.
I heard the echo before, like.
Oh, you did
last Wednesday. Yeah.
Oh.
So
okay.
I'm not hearing it now.
Okay, so his comments take a long time to load, but I just want to see. Basically, I asked him because he says that if you're an abusive, if you receive an abusive reply to a comment from an account, okay,
oh, yeah.
He's just talking about his thing here. So let me just see if my comment is still up. But basically, I asked him because in this video he said that not all of these events are fake, which implies that some of them are real.
Mm-hmm.
So I just said, can you let me know which ones are the real ones?
and why would they fake some and others be real?
Right.
I mean, wouldn't that be insulting to the families that are really grieving? I mean, you have families over there that are grieving tremendously because all their babies are dead, and you're going to go pull a stunt with some rubber babies and they'll just mock their suffering. That wouldn't go over well.
I think my comment's gone, but I'm not sure. I can't find it right now. So maybe he deleted it.
Well, he gets so many. I mean, you get lost in the sea. All those comments have probably doubled since the time that you place your comment.
Oh, right.
So
it says 8 hours ago. So if I just expand out these replies, it might find it. He leaves all the shills comments on here. But I just want to expand this out a bit because I just told him, what do you think of fake nukes? And that was the end of that.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not looking, you know, I'm not. Oh, well, I'm ready to have a talk with him. I'm not a civil talk. And, you know, I won't call anybody any names. He seems to be implying that I'm an Israeli agent. So, or I think what he would retreat on is like, you're working for Israel and you just don't know it. Well, it's like, no, I'm believing my own eyes is what I'm seeing. And these videos, when taken in totality, show fakeness in 5, 6, 7 different areas. The rubber babies being one. They're also obvious controlled demolitions. The camera is always pointed towards the building as it collapses. How does the cameraman know to put his camera directly on the building when it collapses? And or which building is going to be hit by a rocket next? A lot of these videos, we see the rocket entering the building. It's like, how did you know that rocket was going to go into that building? You know, it's insulting. It's like, that's impossible. And then you get these parents who are wailing, and they're waving their arms around, and they're holding the corpse of their dead child in their arms. I mean, literally holding the corpse of their dead daughter in their arms, and they're not shedding a single tear.
Yeah, I should have screenshotted my comment, but I can't find it here.
I think I went.
I think you must have deleted it.
Oh.
Oh. You want to take your call?
Oh, is there a call? No. What I pulled on my microphone wire.
Plug it back in, because now you're on your other speaker thing there.
Oh, does it sound like I'm on my other speaker?
Yeah, you're not on your headset.
Oh, anymore. I think I need to go into settings. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, my comment is gone. So there you go. It's not there anymore. So that's fine. It's his channel. He can do whatever he wants. He leaves all the race stuff up, and all the people that are talking about race stuff on here. But he my simple comment about fake nukes is gone.
Yeah. Does my mic sound better?
Yeah, you're good.
So, yeah, he wants to stir up controversy, stir up hysteria. But if you want to talk logic and sense, then he'll run away. So, yeah, I was talking about the controlled demolitions. We also have the obvious. They're staging rescue scenes out of these demolished buildings. They're putting healthy children with fake blood on their forehead. And they're pretending to, and every single child you see get pulled out of these buildings. They've literally done hundreds of these staged rescues. Not a single one of them has a compound fracture. You'd expect to see severe damage to a leg, an arm. All of them have no broken bones. And it's like, are you effing kidding me? That's a healthy kid you're pulling out of the. Over 100 times, they're all healthy, and some people have told me, Phil, the ones when they pull out an injured kid, they don't show you. They only, well, you know, I've seen about 100 of them pulling out healthy kids, and they need to show if they are pulling out kids that are damaged. I need, and they have released a couple of them lately that show some, and I put that video up recently on my channel that looked mildly real. These kids looked like they had damage to their legs and their arms, but they were rubber. It the way the ankle and the foot moved, it was rubber. You can tell. I'm telling people, they are making very realistic, lifelike human mannequins now. Yeah. I posted a video up. They're ultra realistic. You can't tell the difference at all. And especially if you put a little gray dust on them and a little fake blood on their head, you can't tell it. Except I can tell, because I could tell that that's not an active wound. I could tell it's just a fake blood that's painted on his forehead. But they're using the gray dust over way too much. That's another aspect that reveals a fakery. They're the golf carts, taking hostages on golf carts is just insulting, ridiculous.
That story never gets promoted anymore. That the origin story is the least believable part of the whole story. That's why it never gets brought up.
Yeah, invading the most defended border in the world with paragliders, and the videos they released from those paragliders, because they had video cameras strapped to their heads. And so these pilots were videoing themselves as they were shooting their AK-47s from their paraglider. No, what they're doing is they're dropping Molotov cocktails into these little towers that were along the wall. And they were making, you know, of course, direct hits into this tower, and they would catch on fire with their Molotov cocktail. It's like, you can't invade Israel with Molotov cocktails from a freaking flying parachute. That is so
well, it was mainly to attack the young people at the music festival. That was the whole point.
Yeah, and so then they went in and they attacked. They did release some of those videos of dropping the Molotovs on the border wall, but then they went into the concert to take hostages, and they one girl they told to get on the back of their motorcycle, and you know, so she got on the, they kidnapped her by putting her on the back of the motorcycle. Like, you can't kidnap somebody that way. Get on the back of my motorcycle. what else they were, but all the,
did you put some of them on your channel, these videos?
Yeah, man, way back. That was, so it started what, 4 months ago?
Started on 10/7. They wanted to make 10/7 a 9/11 type memorable numerological day.
Yeah.
They wanted that to roll off your tongue.
Yeah.
As a slogan, really, for the whole thing. I don't think it worked.
Well, I seem to remember it so far, but then again, I've been
you're studying it.
I've been on this topic, yeah. So
if you go on the man on the street, where were you on 10/7? They say, well, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's right. The day it happened, it had no psychological impact. Like 3 days later, I said, oh, they're still pushing this thing. What the hell is this?
Yeah.
Well, it's another stunt in Gaza. I've been hearing about this my entire effing life. They've been doing this stunt for 50 years, at more than 50 years. And you know, they always shoot rockets at each other, and they always do something, and they throw rocks at tanks and stuff, and then it calms down and they go back, and then a few years later it flames up again, and they fire rockets into Israel again, and the kids are throwing rocks at tanks, and it's just, and they've gone to the well too many times. It's ridiculous that they would have. If this was a real conflict, the Israelis would have stopped it years ago, but they don't stop it because they don't want to stop it, because this is not a real conflict. This is a business you're witnessing. This is a hysteria-based business of getting sympathy on, getting rile up emotions on both sides, and because they know they're going to make money on both sides. And that's exactly what's
happening. And to probably move them out of the...
And to move populations and to... It's money first off, and then population movement second, and it's just a business.
The other thing that I was thinking about today is the hostage story has never really been properly promoted. Now,
the hostages from 1979.
I'm talking about this, the Gaza thing. Apparently, there are hostages, but I don't think they're, unless you see in your research, are they really promoting it, as in how many there are, who's been released, you know, the highlight reels, the firsthand accounts of the released ones. Are you seeing any of that? Are they talking about it at all?
People who watch right-wing media, for instance, my father hears about the hostages. He watches 700 Club.
He's a
big partner. And so they talk about it there. And he watches right-wing media, and he hears about it there.
Okay, because the rest of us are not getting. I'm not getting it.
Yeah, but it's not really something. I think there's like 50 left, 50 hostages still left, and there's none. I mean, what they're telling us is there's 50, but they're not a single hostage was ever taken. This was all a stage show. It's a ton. They talk about the tunnels in Gaza. It's like, there's no tunnels in Gaza. They may have dug one or two tunnels just to get a camera op in there, but they're not going to waste their time digging miles and miles of tunnels when this is all a stage show. They don't need tunnels. They're obviously working together. The Palestinians and Israelis are obviously cooperating to pull a stunt, to trick the Western world, to send aid money, aid packages, donation money. They're also whipping up advertisement money with the nightly news. There's all kinds of different ways they're getting money out of this. Not the first and foremost, the immediate aid packages that the Americans have put together and immediately send over. And
so here's a so-called hostage. I can't even keep who's who straight in these things. Mm-hmm. Bedouin citizen confronts Palestinian ambassador asking why Hamas kidnapped his family, demanding their release. Oh, he's an Israeli Bedouin. I don't even know what the heck that is.
Yeah, this looks staged.
It doesn't really work because it's not in English, so it's not going to.
Yeah,
it's not playing well to the audience.
If the ambassador was to have a conversation with one of the family members, it would be in a controlled setting. It wouldn't be after a conference, just on a whim amongst the chairs. So it's a stage scene. I can't understand the language either. I understand crisis actor in any language, and I just know that an ambassador would not have a talk with a family member under those settings. That would be totally irresponsible, and he wouldn't do it.
Yeah. So there's my point here is there's not a lot on the hostages. So that made me think about the famous hostages, the Iranian hostages that were ding, 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 held for 444 days, 444, and let out just as Reagan got into power or the day of to mark that momentous occasion when we elected our first Hollywood B actor.
Anyone
remember that?
Yeah. I think he wasn't the first. I think he was just the first one to openly admit he was an actor.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But so no, they're all actors.
So I thought maybe I'd sick fake nukes Phil on that story and see what he could dig up on that, because I don't really remember anything about the hostages back then either. They didn't really profile them or parade them around until the very end. Mm. So you were digging up before we started, just because that's when you got my email, just to see what you could find on them. So are any of them still around? Can we have any anniversary interviews?
I think there are some still alive, one or two. The one I think I sent you, I think he's still alive, and he gave this whopper of a story how he was being held in a solitary confinement in a cell that was as big as a cot, a single bed.
40 years ago today, one of our area's biggest signs. Yeah,
go to 5 minutes, 47 seconds.
Out in northeastern Pennsylvania.
This is the first one that came up.
1981, when we celebrated the end of the...
Five minutes.
Iranian student protesters started taking over the embassy.
We surrendered the embassy officially.
And where did they take you?
Over to the ambassador's residence, and then the next day to a larger building where we were, just all laying on the floor, still tied up. And that was the last time I saw any American.
But while they're walking you from one building to another building, did you think they're going to kill me?
I was angry. Anger doesn't allow you to think about being killed.
Eminem, Michael Metrinko.
You don't care about consequences. Yeah.
The double M.
The mock executions?
No. I never even knew that happened until I read about it later. I was in handcuffs or zip ties a lot.
You had to read about it. I remember it was in the movie. I think a couple movies about it.
This is pretty close to where he talks about it. It's at the 5 minute 47. I think this is him. This is the famous photo of the guy. They put these ridiculous ridiculous blindfolds on these guys.
Right. And it looks like it's ready to fall off.
Yeah. And looking back at it now, it's like this was so ridiculously stupid.
All right. And John's on the line. We'll take his call in a second here. We'll just play a bit.
Many days living in his own filth.
I was in hardcore prisons on concrete floors with, no windows and just little air holes. But I was alone the whole time, too. So I was in solitary from November of 1979 until May, I think, of 1980. The room that I was in for a long time was exactly the size of a single mattress, mattress for a cot.
Michael and the rest of the hostages spent 444 days in captivity.
I saw some reports you drew shapes on the wall.
Yeah, I'm 74 and I still do this in order to fall asleep.
And he thought about escaping.
If I'm going to get out of this, if I have to run someday to get out of here, I'd better be in very good physical shape. So I started, a huge program of exercise.
What did you do?
I run in place for, hours a day.
On the cot?
Do 1,000
steps a day. If you were in a room the size of a cot, you would go claustrophobic. You'd go, he doesn't describe about any mental, you'd go crazy. And he's acting as if he just, it was just nothing. It was just a minor inconvenience. It's like you would go absolutely crazy. But I'm not buying it. His story, it sounds like an Auschwitz survivor story. I think he's telling a whopper. And
let's take a call from John.
Hold time, 2 minutes, 35 seconds.
John, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good. Let me cut off the audio. This is, like I said, this is John the Beggar from the South Shore, the St. Lawrence Seaway.
Yes.
And I'm a little older than you two guys.
Yes.
Than Phil and you. But so I think I remember the Iranian hostage situation a little bit better. And the whole thing is looking back is kind of strange. 444 days, the numbers of four. And Ross Perot was in on getting some people out of there, too.
Oh, good. So I love Ross.
Yeah, it somehow shows that he was a planted actor, so to speak, also.
Yeah. I liked Ross. He was he captured my attention back in the day because I think he was right about a lot of things. But,
oh, he definitely was that giant sucking sound.
That was my favorite quote.
Going to Mexico.
Oh, yeah, that was my absolute favorite quote. And you know what? Totally correct.
Yeah, and two, there was one gentleman who ran for the Democratic Party in Michigan for the Senate, but he didn't get it. He was allegedly one of the hostages, and they had all sorts of stories about it. And looking back, and then two, the Catholic bishops went over there. Bishop Gumbleton and a number of other ones went over there, and they had a little meeting. And it makes me wonder whether they were in on it too.
Of course.
Yeah.
All the world's a stage, no doubt. This guy looks like he has a pretty nice house. Whatever he did afterwards, I think he did pretty well.
Yeah, he's been paid his entire life to play this role. Yeah.
Yeah, just the whole. So many things are looking back now. You can say that this is BS, but at the time I thought it was totally real.
Well,
so did I.
Well,
I was 13.
There was no fakeology back then.
No, there wasn't. But I mean, over the years, I had been exposed to some things in college to the idea that the Lincoln assassination was totally fixed, faked, because he had face cancer and was going to die. And even the idea of possibly a nuke weren't set off in Japan. Those were just firebombs, but we really did have nukes. That idea, a couple of people, I know some ROTC guys that talked about that to me. And, looking at this, I don't think we nuked either one of those cities.
No, it was the injuries we see from Hiroshima are consistent with firebombing. The Americans on purpose released some civilians, with melted skin because now the Japanese had thousands more photos because we had bombed 65 cities but we couldn't show the American public all of those photos because the American public would say, what the heck are we doing? We're killing women and children. But the Americans wanted the American public to see one set of photos, and that was the one set from Hiroshima, because they wanted to scare us about this mythical weapon that they supposedly invented. So I've been collecting photos of civilian deaths from World War II, and it's quite shocking, and it tells the tale of the tape. To see who can provide photos of dead civilians, it shows who the bad guys were. And frankly, the Japanese and Germans can show all kinds of photos of dead civilians, and the Allies can't show any. Not from Pearl Harbor, not from London Blitz, not from Warsaw, not from France. How come the Germans didn't kill civilians when they went into those places, or the Japanese? Oh, they showed us that one picture of the Japanese soldier with a baby on the end of his bayonet, and that was the Nanking. But that has been proven to be a fake photo. And so the Japanese went into Nanking to liberate it from the Chinese communists. So we just went over there and helped the commies win in both theaters, and it's just awful. And here's another thing I'm trying to do is I'm trying to open up and show what a horrendous crime World War II was. It was totally, and the reason why our world keeps getting sicker is because we don't repent. We don't, by and large, most of us think that the World War II was a righteous war, and it's like, oh, it was the biggest crime in human history. And
I call it the holy war, the holy baloney war.
Yeah. I just want to look at this guy's wall. Do you see any imagery that's strategically located? I don't know a lot of these symbols, but I'm pretty sure a lot of the stuff the guy's got on his wall is not exactly
that might be a Freemasonic eagle over there in the yellow.
Exactly. And I don't know what this cross is here, but there's just a lot of I think they put a lot of symbolism. This is obviously very staged, and all interviews are well staged. So, and this, I don't know, this guy looks very bizarre with his.
He's a flaming homosexual. It's insulting.
Yeah, it's very
well. You know, there are some battles that were real in World War II, and mm-hmm. over the years, I know I read about Anzio. And mm-hmm. all these soldiers complaining about what was done there, where we sat on the side of a hill on a beach and didn't go up and engage the Germans when they were small in number. And mm-hmm. in my lifetime, I met a few guys who had been there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they cursed it too and said, we got slaughtered there for nothing. And I believe that it wasn't just to hold up to so the British. I believe it was to get the death total up.
Oh, yeah. I think it was to kill as many Anglo-Saxon from America and from Germany. It was a bunch of Anglo-Saxons killing each other on the beach and on the, and it was a, and that's why they celebrate Normandy, have that little occasion every year, is because what a great day it was for the people that rule this, the satanic overlord of our world, because to have all these Anglo-Saxon boys killing each other on the beach, it was just, and they didn't have to lift a finger. They were just doing it themselves. And yeah, that's why that Normandy thing was launched at June 6th at 6:30 on the sixth hour of the sixth day of the 6 month, another 666. It was a satanic sacrifice. And if you've ever been to the Omaha Cemetery, or seen videos of it, they've got all kinds of occultic symbolism all throughout that cemetery. It's a total sacrificial. They've got symbols of the bankers
Omaha
there.
Beach, were they invaded?
Yeah.
Omaha Beach.
They have the banker symbols on the horseshoe shape that's right there at Omaha, meaning that the boys died for the bankers, just like Smedley Butler said in his book that the war is a racket. And what happened 5 years later, they did this Normandy thing and proved Smedley Butler. Right. And they put the banker symbols on the temple that they have at Omaha Beach. It's just absolutely outrageous. And if Americans knew that those boys died for the bankers.
It was really almost worse, all those landings in the Pacific with the Marines, because I knew a guy, he's gone now, but he was on a ship and he would tell me how he went out. He was a Navy man, went out in the water in boats and they had them collect the bodies. And he said, people don't believe me how this awful this was, but he was telling the truth. I didn't doubt him. He was a good guy. And he could see things, you know. I know because in some local political races, I backed some people, and a lot of people went against him. But he went along with me because he met them and he saw what they were trying to do and what they were fighting against.
Many battles were real, and what it was the Americans and British faked a whole bunch of stuff in Warsaw and in London and at Pearl Harbor, started the deadliest war. We needed to destroy the Japanese and the Germans because they were resisting communism, and they were the Japanese were the most decent people in Asia, and the Germans were the most decent people in Europe. And communism is a war against decent people, and those decent people, it's just like the Civil War when the Confederates were and the Yankees knew that the Confederates were decent people because they were never in fear of the Confederates ever hurting a civilian. During the first battle at Bull Run, the Yankees actually went across enemy lines into Virginia with their picnic baskets.
I know. I remember about that in college.
Because the Confederates had a reputation of being decent people and very civilized people. They knew the Confederates would not harm them, and it was true. The Confederates did not harm them, but the Confederates whooped the Yankees' ass, and they had to beat a hasty retreat back across the border. And the people had to pick up their picnic baskets and run across. But the only civilian who got killed that day was a Confederate civilian who the Yankees killed on their way out. And so, and that marked what was that war was going to be about, is how the Yankees were going to kill all the civilians as they possibly could. Same thing with World War II. It's a war against decent people, to kill as many decent people, so that so we end up in a world where we're ruled with gangsters and hustlers. And then, and what we're seeing in Gaza right now is a great big street hustle. And these are the people who won the war, because all the decent people are gone. And so they get to play these little street hustles, and they get to do all these little hoaxes and just churn up money. And it's, yeah, it's.
Hey, John the Beggar, let me.
I'm sorry, John. You, thanks for calling in. You always bring good points.
What's your take on the Israeli hostages, so-called hostages, with regards to knowing what we know about the Iranian hostages? Do you think they were trying to make up a parallel story to relive that old one?
You never know. But as Yasser Arafat said once, when they asked him about Hamas, he said, "They're not my dog. They're Israel's."
All right. Oh, so they were, yes, and I think Yasser was their dog too.
He could have been. He did get money, I know, from Lord Rothschild. Yeah. But as one professor in college said to me, he was hedging his bet. But he could have been their dog all along. But they could have had him there in case everything did collapse. Then they'd rule through him.
Yeah, of course. They always back both sides, and it's a dialectic, etc. Okay. Well, thanks, John. If you got anything else, otherwise we'll get back to Phil. Yeah.
I wanted to know about, I know I have the doubts too that they even can set off a nuclear bomb, but
I should hope so by now.
I think those reactors are producing electricity, so they're somehow generating heat, because you need steam to run those generators.
Okay. So where's the heat coming from?
Yeah, I think it's coming from radioactive material. So now, what they're doing to that material, if they just run a little electrical current through it.
Well, it's they're magic rocks. That's the official story. They're enriched uranium. That's magic rocks, John. So what they're saying is the rocks are throwing off protons or neutrons, and they are heating each other up in a ever-accelerating cycle. And the only thing that moderates the continuous cycle are iron rods that they shove in between the magic rocks. So basically they have a faggot of a faggot is a bundle of sticks. Okay. That's what it is. Yeah. It's a faggot. So every other tube is a supposedly an iron rod in between the uranium rods. So they moderate the reaction by inserting the rods all the way in or partially in, so they can move them back and forth to allow the magic rocks to increase or decrease the heat. So
well, I think they actually are creating heat.
Okay.
Now,
well,
how it's being done, I don't know.
That's the whole, and but you have, but that's, but that's the essence of it. We all understand that power plants are just boilers. So we all, the only question is, what is making the water boil? Everyone needs to literally boil it down to the bare essentials. So the magic potion is in the faggots, in the water. So if you believe that there are magic rocks that generate heat, then you believe in the spell. That to me is the fakery part of it. And nobody in a plant even has access to that, except for maybe a couple people. And even they probably don't know for sure if those magic rocks, if they're hooked up to anything, then it's just a heating element.
I said, it might be some sort of an element of heating, but I do believe it gives off radiation, and I personally wouldn't want to go near those things. I know some people that live not too far from one.
Yeah,
and they knew
you're looking at one.
People.
I would. And I've got my Geiger counter, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, well,
and,
yeah.
If they'll let me close, I'll go in there and take a reading, take a video.
Well,
of
after
it.
9/11, coincidentally, they locked down all the nuclear power plants in the world, put up extra fencing, and nobody can go in anymore to any of them around the world. What a coincidence!
Yeah,
because they said, "Oh, these are going to be targets of terrorist attacks," so now nobody can go in on tour. There are no tours, and now they are armed fortresses. So,
and
sorry,
also in the Navy, if you work on a nuclear submarine or a nuclear aircraft carrier, and you work in the turbine section, Like, yeah, you are. You are
your physicist, supposedly.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Oh, Jimmy Carter. Hilarious.
I thought he was a peanut farmer.
He did do peanut farming on the side.
He went from peanut farming to nuclear physicist. Are you kidding me?
In the war, he was allegedly a nuclear physicist.
Oh, okay, my God. This is getting nuttier by the minute. Hey, John, we got one more caller on the line, so we should take that.
You're sworn to secrecy your entire life if you work on an aircraft, a nuclear aircraft carrier, and that's very odd. And you can be put in Leavenworth at any when you're 60
seconds.
Okay. Well, hey guys, thank you for having me on.
Thank you, John the Beggar.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
Bye. All right. Who's the other caller on the line? Where are you calling from? And what's your name?
Yeah, it's Rick in Arizona.
Hey, Rick. Sorry,
Rick in Arizona.
I forgot to turn Skype on again. Every time you call in, I say, "Damn, okay. I forgot to turn Skype on."
Yeah.
All right. Go for it, man.
Nuclear reactors are always built on a body of water.
Yeah, that's fine.
And so they're using that water to cool something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't mean anything, though.
And so. Well, I mean, look, I talked to a bunch of nuclear engineers one time. There was a convention at my hotel that I was working at, and they were there for, you know, whatever they were doing. And I asked them about if Israel had nuclear weapons, and they said, well, we don't really know. I said, what about a nuclear reactor they got there in the Negev Desert? And he said, you can't have a nuclear reactor in the Negev Desert because you have to have redundancy in the cooling.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all part of the prop. First of all, it's all on prime real estate. That's the other big scam. At least it is in Toronto. So nothing, none of that makes any difference to me. That's just part of the scam. What about coal plants?
Yeah, I don't know. But
are coal fired power plants usually on water too?
Not really.
I don't know.
But if you take a look. Yeah, you know, almost all of your nuclear power plants are on a body of water, so they're cooling something.
That.
They're using the water for something.
Right.
So
yeah,
you guys believe that the nuclear power plant is just sitting there and it's a prop. Is that what you guys think?
Well, one of my commenters I listened to, his name is John Cathy. He was on the Jim Fetzer show, and he said it's more of a chemical reaction. Enriched uranium has a chemical reaction with water. It's just an expensive way to boil water, is what it is. And
okay,
I go with the dump load idea.
And it could also be a dump load.
One makes more sense to me.
But if they were producing real usable energy, well, then you would see them on places like Hawaii.
Australia? How many does it have?
Yeah,
zero.
Yeah, you know, because Hawaii has to import all of its fuel, all of it. Yeah. And so you would see, and it has lots of water around it, so you have a lot of water redundancy. And exactly. So why isn't there a nuclear plant on Hawaii? Or why isn't there a nuclear plant in Antarctica?
Or Australia.
It'd be perfect.
Giant island.
Yeah, and so there are lots of places on Earth where a nuclear plant would make sense, but they don't. They're not there. Where they are is near power lines that are going to big cities and where they can dump it and overload.
Where there's other sources of power. So you can't you can't watch power driving around the wires. You can't see it. So it's a great thing to fake. Hey, Rick, I got one more caller and we should wrap it up soon.
Thanks for calling, Rick. Good stuff.
Thank you, Rick. And
hold time 2 minutes other, 37
other
seconds.
Caller in or where are you calling from? What's your first name?
Hey, this is Dookie Foot from Arkansas.
Hey,
Dookie Foot.
Hey, so earlier when John was on the phone,
yeah,
he said Phil responded to him and said it's a war on people and their decency.
Okay.
I think it's more of a war on the ideas of decency.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, sure, they can trick the people into fighting their wars for them and dying. And they do that through methods like religion, churches. We're real bad for telling people to fight. But really, it all comes down to the ideas. Because one reason they had to take Hitler out was because the very first thing he did when he took power was he outlawed all those nasty Jewish institutions like pornography, and debt and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to put him to an end immediately. Mm-hmm. And the idea of all that, because before World War II, Germany wasn't decent at all. It was completely ruined by the Jews and their nasty institutions.
Oh yeah, you're talking about the Weimar Republic.
I think Berlin had the first tranny on record.
Yeah,
and I might be wrong about that, but Germany was not a very good place to be before Hitler came around and put an end to that shit.
Yeah, that was one of a million things Hitler did, but
yeah, that's the Weimar Republic, and most Germans didn't like it, and that catapulted Hitler into being so popular, is because the Germans hated that Weimar Republic.
But the main thing was he gave jobs and put mm-hmm. people to work. I mean, that without a job, a man has nothing. And I think
exactly he promoted building up.
He said anyone that could work needs to work. And I'm actually in support of that, because it's the opposite now. Anyone who can work doesn't work. So I think I agree a little bit with Ernst Zundel. He said America will enter Weimar Republic conditions, and
over.
What comes after that? That's the question. What comes next?
Oh,
yeah, that's coming on. We're Weimar all the way. I mean, look at all the trainings we got now.
Yeah.
So
there's none.
Can you hear me over this beeping on my phone?
Yeah, we can.
Yes. Yeah, your audio sounds pretty good.
Yeah, you're good, buddy.
All right, but hey, can I make one quick suggestion though for your hold line?
Yeah, sorry, the hold music.
Yeah, instead of music, can we get the show playing through?
I'm gonna look into that. I never really had the problem before, because that even the hold wasn't working. So I will figure out how to pipe that in. That'll be the next.
Yeah, that'll be cool, because I don't know where to really start when I don't know where y'all are on the show, because I don't have a computer or anything like that. I'm only using my phone. So
You got like, the one
call,
device.
The show instantly stops. So.
Oh, I got. I see what you mean. And but on the audio, there should only be a slight delay. It should only be 6 or 7 seconds. I don't know though.
Not on my phone. It's pretty bad on my phone. I'm probably 5 minutes behind by now, but.
Well, like, no, you're yeah.
I called in. John was still on the phone, and you know,
all right. Well, I'll work on that. Anyway. Another technical problem to add to my list, but I appreciate you.
I know.
That was just a little nag.
No, like, it's good. Like, I'm aware
can
that.
I finish this point.
Yeah.
About the decency thing, because to me it's really important.
Yeah. Okay.
To me, it's way more about squashing ideas mm-hmm. and promoting mm-hmm. filth and disgust. And then actually killing people themselves. If they can turn all the good ideas upside down on their heads, mm-hmm. the people will finish the shit for them. They don't need to kill anybody. They can just kill their souls and kill their spirits with this poison on TV and everywhere. And like every outlet is their business, and they control it and run it all. And all it is on every platform is just nasty filth everywhere. And if you can... But deep down, people know that that's wrong. That's why Weimar was at when Hitler came along. They're like, oh, hell yeah, he's actually standing up to these guys. Because that's the real, everybody knows deep down what good and bad is. I don't care what your background is. You know if something is right or wrong, period.
Yeah.
So no matter what's being promoted, even if you're going along with it, like it was just like the mask thing. Even people that thought it was bad or knew it was bad for that matter, they didn't do it. I mean, they did. A lot of them did it because the peer pressure, and they thought if they did it, oh, something bad's gonna happen to me. When actually the opposite was true. Nothing bad would have happened to anybody that did that, no matter what. Like a mandate is not a law for one thing.
I agree.
But we're not even talking about that subject. But this is all about ideas.
Yeah,
and flipping good ideas into terrible ideas.
Yeah,
but you can't squash the truth. The truth always rises to the top.
Yeah,
people always want to experience the truth. So when someone—that's why ever since Hitler, there's never been a single good guy in the world, in my opinion, as far as rulership goes. And you know, especially after the Antarctic Treaty, You know, that was basically the formation of the New World Order, to keep everybody in the dark, and everybody's shaking hands and giving each other BJs behind the scenes by pretending to be enemies on TV and killing each other and sending everybody to war while every country's simultaneously dropping down in pretty much every category there is, because there's nobody promoting, none of the leadership is promoting anything positive. It's always, do this. It's crap, dude.
Well, they didn't want any single country becoming powerful enough to be independent and, in their words, dangerous. That is the whole idea of the United Nations. That's actually the whole idea of free trade. They don't want any one country to have every industry in its own border. So they're always interdependent. And I think that's what free trade's all about. It's not about opening up markets. It's just making all nations interdependent, so they cannot become powerful enough to so-called be a threat to neighboring nations. I think that's the main idea behind it. So, and that they've been successful.
Exactly. Like, why do you think they show us all these rubber babies? Mm-hmm. They always want you to think that there's these people hate these people, and you're supposed to hate these people.
Well, babies are the number one thing that trigger women.
Yeah.
Bigger babies trigger the women, and then the women go after the men.
It's emotional trauma. It's family breakdown. It's breakdown of society as a whole. That's the whole goal. If you can poison the way people think, or get them into a state where they don't act or do anything to make their own personal change in a positive direction, society is going to continue to spiral down. But there is a bottom. It can't always go down. Eventually, people get to the point where, dude, we've had enough. It's
We haven't hit bottom yet.
Change, we'll make the leadership change.
We haven't hit it yet. We got to get one of the grandpas back into November, and it'll just keep going down.
Oh,
so.
My God. That's where I left off. I called in when you were talking about faggots.
That's right.
Bundles of sticks.
But that is the essence of a nuclear plant. People get all mixed up with the steam and the water. No, where does the heat come from? It comes from magic rocks.
It is the magic rocks. And I do tend to believe magic rocks.
That's alchemy, buddy.
No. Strong feeling, yes, that they're putting these rocks into the water. I mean, just look at what's that one guy's name that worked at the power plant before all the rules and regulations came out?
Galen Windsor.
He traveled around. Yeah. Galen Windsor. Remember him? He ate the uranium and all that type of stuff.
Yeah. He's showing it wasn't harmful, but he wasn't exposing the total scam that there's no heat coming off to boil water. I think that's a total scam. Otherwise, there would be nuclear power plants everywhere, but they've made a narrative so it's impossible to love them and impossible to hate them. It's a complete stalemate when it comes to nuclear power plants, and that's the beauty of it. We can't build lots of them because we don't know what to do with the waste, and we need more of them.
Galen Windsor proved that there is no
waste. Well, no, but they still to this day say there's waste, so it's all...
We know for a fact they're lying about that. Right. This is just warmed water.
Okay. Well, they
I live about 2 hours away from a nuclear power
plant. I live about 20 minutes from one. They're fake. FAF. Fake as you know what. But anyway. Anyway, I'll let you go now because I want to wrap things up. But thanks for calling, Dookie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all call, Dookie. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Yeah. Thank you. Call anytime. All right. There goes Dookie Foot from Arkansas. We got two people. A lot of resistance to nuclear power plants are fake. I guess I'm not really proving my case very well. I'll take the heat. But
time is on our side, because the more time that goes by when no nuclear holocaust happens.
Nukes Phil could live up to his name and start sniffing around the videos for fake power plants, because otherwise they'd be everywhere.
Yeah, they would be everywhere.
Because they do say it's perfect power. There's no carbon emissions, zero carbon. There's no smoke. There's no, what could be better?
Here's what I'm going to say. Like, 100 years from now, people are going to be looking back and saying those people were scared. Those people thought they had a mythical, magical weapon or power source. They say we're taking a piece of the sun and we're putting it on the earth. It's like this mythical thing or magical thing.
It's alchemy, and man.
They're going to laugh at us, but it's the illusion of alchemy. They didn't. Okay, here we go. Nikola Tesla tested the splitting the atom thing, and he abandoned it after a few experiments. He says it doesn't do any appreciable energy. There's no appreciable energy to be measured from it, and he abandoned it. And Nikola Tesla was the one who was against Albert Einstein. There was a whole bunch of scientists.
He was the dialectic, yeah.
There was a whole bunch of scientists that were against Albert Einstein, and they were all silenced after the war. Ever since the war, we've been living in Einstein's universe, and that's when the nukes came in. That's when this outer space came in, and it's just we're living in Einstein's universe, and we're in a dark age. We're not advancing.
I agree with that.
And so
you can't even get your computer working. I mean, come on, this is a dark age.
I got my 2009 old dependable one. It's a little slow, but it gets up and running.
Well, I left you a comment on that, and I personally don't think unless somebody fished your password out of there, I don't think there's any way to bring on the blue screen of death. One of the I don't know if you have most laptops have solid state drives.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. they don't last very long. I can tell you my audio server went down and all it took was another SSD. The SSD cost me $25.
Mm-hmm.
And the only problem is you need to reformat and put Windows back on, because once that's defective, you have to flip it out and just pop another one in, and you just have to reinstall Windows. So I would say that that's probably your only problem. So they do fail. So you just have to be ready for the, it's not will they fail, it's when they fail. So you just have, obviously you're smart enough to back up your stuff, but you just have to know how to easily fix it. So it's actually pretty easy. Like anything else, if you're a fix it guy, just go to YouTube. They'll walk you through it.
Oh,
it's not hard. It's a couple screws. If that, and you just pop out the drive and take a picture of it and order it off Amazon and put a new one in. And then you got to follow more instructions how to put Windows back on. So it's not that hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I it's like $30 on Amazon but I couldn't find the exact one to fit my model number. But I guess I have to take the SSD out and actually get the number off it before I order. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think they're pretty standard, so you don't need the one just for your machine. I'm sure there's as long as it fits in there, it'll work. As long as it fits, they're either, I think it's 2.5 inches. Mm-hmm. I think that's usually what it is. And I've got a whole bunch kicking around, but it's not worth it to mail it to you because they're too cheap. It's cheaper for you to get it yourself.
Yeah.
They're very cheap now, by the way, so. It's not a big deal.
I was pricing them out. Yeah, they're pretty cheap.
Yeah, so, you always kind of need a backup anyway, because these things do break. And, you're putting it through a lot of stress. All these rubber babies are probably freaking it out. But anyway, good show tonight. It was fun.
Good as always.
We only got to a few points, but that's okay. There's always a million points. I'm going to take next week off because I'm tired.
Oh, no problem.
I'm going to take a break, so next week will be a week off.
We'll see you two Wednesdays from now.
Yeah, we'll do two Wednesdays from now. And when I come back, I'm trying to get, for all the other people I'm interested, I'm trying to get a memorial service show for Tracy Northern, who who apparently died this last week. She was one of the best straight shooters in Ireland about viruses and health. Really smart woman, and apparently she died in her least favorite place, the hospital. So she's no longer. I was trying to get her on the show for the last year, but she was doing a book. So she didn't have really a lot of time, but now she's gone, which really sucks if it's true. But apparently her daughter says it is true. So we'll just have to go with it. And that's really sucky. So I'm trying to get anyone who wants to pay tribute to her to come on a show. And I don't know most of her connections. So just give out my email. I'm at fakeologist.com and get those people on. And I think we're going to try and do it for the 24th of March. But anyway, that's another guest gone. A lot of people that come on this show, they don't last. I've had a few of them, Phil.
Yeah.
I think you're a survivor.
Well, thanks. Yeah, now the clock is ticking. Yeah,
no, you'll be fine.
Okay, yeah, I'll have to beat the odds here.
It's mostly virus guys that come on the show that seem to disappear over time or too early. Not right. Rubber babies, guys.
Okay, yeah, we'll see. I'll be the first rubber baby guy. Let's see how long I last.
Nah, you'll be fine. Nobody cares. The Gaza thing is a small sideshow to the whole COVID thing, I think. Mm-hmm. But anyway, thanks for the research. Keep up the good work. And Phil at fakeologist.com. I forward that address to Phil's email box. And anything you want Phil to research, he does research on demand, right?
Sure, yeah. If most of the time, some of the time, yeah. Most of the time.
Whenever he can squeeze it in. He's busy. He has a full plate. The rubber babies keep flying down the...
I'm particularly interested in civilian photographs of death from World War II. And yeah. I'm getting together a pretty good collection. And it tells a tale. And we need to shove... And it's something you can shove in people's face. It's like... explain this, and most people don't have an explanation for it. So,
all right, okay, send all those pictures to Phil at fakeologist.com.
Yeah.
All right, Phil, thanks a lot, appreciate it. I'll see you in a couple.
Yeah, all right, see you in a couple.
All right, take care, good night.
Bye.
All right, good night, everybody. This is Value for Value. You pay whatever you think this show's worth, fakeologist.com/donate. And we had a few donors, but you know what? I think a few guys can step up again, especially all you Bitcoin holders. Bitcoin is 72,000, so pay whatever you think the show's worth. Value for value. And thanks for Phil. And tomorrow should be Frank. Take care. Goodbye. Beautiful people everywhere. The way they show they care makes me want to say, it's a beautiful world. It's a beautiful world. It's a beautiful world.